Mishias Masechta Daf Samach Beis. We will begin on Daf Samach Beis on an Aleph at the second line, middle of the second line, Ihachi. Actually, we're not going to begin with Ihachi because the Gra says to omit those words. But that's where we would start. We discussed at length in the previous year, and we'll continue Be'ezer Hashem in today's year, the Halacha of Erchin. And we discussed, the Gemara proved the halacha of erchin, just to quickly review, the Torah teaches us in Parshas Bechukaisai that every person, based on their age and their gender, has a specific erech. And we learned in the previous year that goyim can't make erchin, but can be the subject of erchin. Says the Gemara, the pasuk says, Ish kiyafin neder be'erchin. Be'erchin, lamali. So ask the Gemara, why do we need the pasuk? Why do we need the word ish, which teaches us that a guy can be the subject of an erech? The Torah already compares erechin to the darim. Damakra, as the pasuk says, ish kiyafin neder be'erkecha. V'tanya gabin the darim, and we learned regarding the darim ish. And we say that the Torah, when it discusses the darim, uses the word ish, and actually says the word ish twice. Ish, ish. What does the Torah say? Ish, ish, ish. Ki Yaakov Kavin, the pasuk discusses the double lashon of it. The pasuk uses the double lashon ish. The rabbi says, Oiv de kechavim, shein nodrim, v'nadarim, v'nadaris kisrael. That pasuk teaches us that not only Jews, but even goyim could donate kabonis. They can make nadarim. So ask the Gemara, Ish kiyafli be'erchin lamli. Why do we need a pasuk by erchin to teach us that goyim can be the subject of erchin? And as the Rishonim explained the Gemara, even though we learned in the previous year on Daf Samach Aleph Amr Aleph that the pasuk says dab in the introductory remarks to the parasha of erchin, daba b'nei Yisrael, and we learned and we used that pasuk to exclude goyim to some degree from the parish of Erchin, ask the Gemara, fine, this is Tosfos' explanation, we've excluded them. What does that mean, we've excluded them? That they can't make Erchin. But ask the Gemara, so the exclusion we learned, but the inclusion that's learned from the word Ish is not necessary, because if Goyim could be the subject of Nedarim, they certainly could also be the subject of Erchin. Why do we need a special pasuk? So our Gemara just taught us a halacha, that goyim could donate kabbanis. A number of interesting points. One point I saw that the Sefer Das Kedoshim explains that the pasuk, when it describes goyim donating kabbanis, says the word l'rtzonchem. They have to be to their will. We don't find that word necessarily when Jews donate kabbanis. Why? So he explains, the Rambam says, a very famous Rambam, the Rambam says that a number of places in Halacha we find the concept of kaifen osay achiyam eretzani. If a Jew really doesn't want to do something, we could force him. Why? How could you force somebody to do something? So Ram says, really every Jew wants to do what's right. The Yetzirah gets in the way. So we force him, and that brings out the Yetzirah. But that's only by Jews, not by Goyim. By Goyim, if they want to bring a carbon, it has to be l'ritzonchem. Another interesting din is that we know, the Torah tells us, that when a Jew brings a carbon, brings an animal, it may not be a bal mum. A guy could bring a bal mum. It depends which mumim. We're learning with Shem Masechtas Vachim, but this rule that any bal mum is disqualified doesn't apply by goyim. Why? So I saw a very beautiful pshat. If someone's wearing an expensive suit, expensive material, the slightest stain will be noticeable. If someone's wearing a poor quality garment, it's not that noticeable. Klai Yisrael is the Am HaNifcher. They have to be perfect, and therefore they can't bring a carbon that has a mum. That doesn't apply by the goyim. But then there's another interesting halacha. The only carbon we accept from a goy is a carbon oila. Jews, we know, could bring carbon oila, carbon shlamim, all sorts of kabanas. Why? So I saw a beautiful answer based on a story with Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Remember, Reb Chaim Volozhiner was the first one that had a yeshiva in Europe, in the sense as we know a yeshiva. And if you have a yeshiva, you need a fundraiser. So he sent the fundraiser once to collect stucco on behalf of the yeshiva. And the person who he approached refused to give him. He says, I'll donate, but I'm only going to give a donation to Reb Chaim Volozhiner directly, not to you. Because I know, how does it work with fundraisers? Fundraisers take a certain commission for themselves. And I want all of my stucco money to go only for the yeshiva, for no one else. So a fundraiser came back and told Reb Chaim Volozhiner what happened. Chaim Volozhiner says, I don't want to take money from that individual. He says, part of our makeup is that we don't only take money for Hegdish. We also worry about the next Jew. There's nothing wrong with the fundraiser getting a commission. That's the difference between a Korban Oil and a Korban Shlomim. A Goy doesn't necessarily have that concept. It's not only for Kodesh. The Shlomim, we know, the owner gets a part, the Kohen gets a part, and the Mizbeach gets a part. They don't understand that concept. It has to be completely for Hegdish. And that's why the only carbon that Goyim can donate is a carbon island. The question that comes up is under what circumstances may we or may we not accept donations from Goyim. The halacha is that certainly for the Beis HaMikdash, even if we were allowed to take donations, they weren't allowed to take a specific item. In other words, a beam that they're going to put into the Beis HaMikdash. A window they weren't allowed to take. Because they didn't want the Goyim to be able to say, this is my beam, this is my window, and he may even retract. What is the halacha regarding a shul? If we're building a shul, we're building a yeshiva, and we're allowed to take donations, are we also prohibited from taking specific items? It's a discussion in the Rishonim. It seems that the Paiskim feel that if we're taking something that's permanent, a window or beam, we should avoid it. But if we're taking something that's movable, a table, a chair, even though it's an identifiable item, it's mutter. It's interesting to note that the Shulchan Aruch says that when one accepts a donation from a non-Jew, the Goy has to say, Adas Yisrael. I'm donating it, Adas Yisrael. Why? Because otherwise we have to be concerned that what he really intends to do is to give us Avodah Zorah. And we'll have Avodah Zorah mixed into our Yeshiva and Tower Beis HaKnesses. Toruch HaShulchan says that nowadays we really don't have to be careful about this. He says the Goyim nowadays aren't such big Oidei Avodah Zorah that we have to be concerned about that. And the entire issue of accepting donations from Akum is a very complicated shaila. We see from our Gemara that it's certainly permissible. However, the Pesach can point out it's only what there are a lot of considerations that should be taken into mind before accepting such a donation. One consideration is where they want to have influence on the administration of the institution that they're donating to. We don't want them to be involved in making decisions which masechta they should learn in the yeshiva. Or a bigger concern is there going to be a concern of a quid pro quo? And if they're going to donate to our Moses, they may then turn around to us and expect us to donate to their Moses, which halachically may be prohibited. All of these considerations have to be taken into concern before accepting such a donation. So the Gemara is still with a Pasha. The Pasuk says, Ish, by the Pasha of Erechim, which we said in the previous year is coming, in today's year, is coming to teach us that Goyim could be the subject of Erechim. But we asked, we don't need that pasuk to teach us that. Ask the Gemara, Elahai Ish, Rebayalei, we need the word Ish to teach us, Vesuya Mufla Samech Lish. That if we have, we discussed this concept many times, that if we have a child who's already like 12 years old and is intelligent, his Nadarim are considered valid Nadarim. That's what the word Ish teaches us. I asked the Rishonim, the word Ish, we've been learning, says it teaches us that Goyim could be the subject of Nadarim. And now it's turning it to a whole different subject. So Rishonim answer, either that's just an ismachta, that's not the main purpose, or what the Gemara meant to say is, were we not to have another place from which we could learn that Goyim could be the subject of Erechim, we would need the word Ish to teach us that. But we don't, because we already learned it from the Dor. Ask the Gemara, Hanuch l'madam muflis samuch l'ish deraisa. According to Madam that says, the midaraisa when a muflas samach lish makes a nether, it's valid. That's what we could say the word ish is coming to teach us. El man da omo. The rabbanon, that it's only with the rabbanon that a muflas samach lish can make nedarim. So the pasuk of ish isn't teaching that. So we're back to where we started. Ish kiyasli lomeli. What are we going to learn the word ish to teach us? Answers the Gemara. Lasuye muflas samach lish da yadikachavim. That even if by a Jew, a mufla samach l'ish cannot make a neder midaraisa, by a goy he can. And the question the Rishonim obviously ask, are goyim more than Jews? A Jew, it's only midrabanim, and by goy it's a deraisa. So I saw a number of truths into that question. One teretz that I saw is that yes, there are precedents in halacha that show us that a goy has more chumas than a Jew. One classical example, Sechtva Bakama. The Gemara teaches us that if a tam of a Jew's animal who's a tam does damage, pays chatzi nezek. If he's a mu'ud, he does nezek shalom. But a goy, there is no difference between a tam and a mu'ud. He always pays nezek shalom. That's one teretz to Rishonim give. Another teretz to Rishonim give is that why is a neder a valid declaration? Because as we've been learning, especially going back to Masechta Nedarim, if somebody violates his nether, he's oivel lo yachal. So when would a Jew be oivel lo yachal? He has to be a bar bas mitzvah. Otherwise, there's no mitzvah averus. So the Gemara is saying we connect the lo yachal. He's oivel the lav when he's a bar bas mitzvah, and therefore the nether is only valid after he becomes a bar bas mitzvah. However, the issur of lo yachal doesn't apply to goyim. And since the issur of layachal doesn't apply to goyim, so the bar bas mitzvah doesn't really mean anything. However, ask the mefarshim if Tosfos' contention is correct that there is no issur of layachal by goyim. We find many times in Tanakh that Jews made shvuas with goyim, going back to Avraham making a shvua with Avimelech. But if goyim aren't obligated to layachal, What was Avram doing? What's the consequence of the Shvuah? So Mefarshim explained, even if there is no Issur of Layachal by a goy, one of the Zayin Mitzvahs Bnei Noach is Birkas Hashem, that they're not allowed to mention Hashem's name in vain. A Shvuah, as we learned so many times when we learned Masechta Nedarim, typically uses Hashem's name. So what was the power of a shvuah that was made with a goyim? Not the layachal. There is no layachal by goy. The fact that he mentions Hashem's name, and then if it turns out that he violates the shvuah, it turned out that he mentioned Hashem's name in vain, and he transgressed Birkas Hashem. That's why they made shvuahs with goyim. But then there's a third shot from the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says, this works with a concept that we discussed just in the previous year. We know that the Gemara says many times, Shurim, Chatzitzin, Mechitzin, all of these concepts are halacha l'mayis b'sinai. That means wherever we find in halacha the concept of a shir, a mikvah has to be 40 saw, kezayis, kebeya, and bar bas mitzvah, a girl 12 years old and a boy 13 years old, is all halacha l'mayis b'sinai. Halacha l'mayis b'sinai we just discussed in the previous year only applies to Jews, not to goyim. That doesn't apply to goyim. So the pasuk here is teaching us, by a Jew, there's a bar mitzvah, there's a bas mitzvah. That doesn't apply by goyim. And therefore, muflas samach l'ish is the age where goy's neder is a neder. In fact, the Chasam Sofer goes a step further. So why do I need a pasuk? He says it's obvious. If there's, by us, by Jew, there's a concept, or bar bas mitzvah. By goyim, there's no concept. So it obviously depends on intelligence. And once the goy is intelligent enough to make the neder, it's a neder. Why would I think differently? So now he turns the Gemara around. Why do I need a pasuk? Answers the Chasam Sofer. Since this concept that we're learning in today's shir, that goyim have the ability to make nedarim, is connected to the ability of Jews to make nedarim, so I would think since a Jew's neder is only effective when he's a bar bas mitzvah, since the goy's ability to make a neder is learned from our ability, the same age should apply by a goy. That's what the pasuk teaches us, that no, even though his ability to make a nether stems from our ability to make a nether, the ages are different. By us, it's from 12, 13. By them, it's muflas samach lish. which is 12 years old if they have the right intelligence. Continues the Gemara. But before we go further, we just have to review a Gemara Masechta Erechin, Daf Hei. The Gemara Masechta Erechin quotes a machloikis from Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, which we've been really somewhat referring to. Everybody agrees that Goyim are limited in the parish of Erechin, that they can't both make and be the subject of an Erech. However, there's a machloikis Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda, what does that mean? Ramei holds, as we've been learning, that a goy could be the subject of an erech, but he can't make an erech. Why? It's a machloikis in logic. According to Ramei, a goy should be compared to a chereshoit of a cotton. A chereshoit of a cotton can't make an erech, but if you have somebody who's a chereshoit of a cotton, he can be the subject of an erech. So Ramei compares a goy to a chereshoit of a cotton. Rabbi Yehuda holds just the opposite. Again, he agrees that goyim are limited in their parish of Erechin, but he says just the opposite. A goy can make an Erech, but not be the subject of an Erech. What is the basis of Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning? The basis of Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning is because he compares a goy to a tumtum v'nadroginus. That the halacha is, a tumtum v'nadroginus, since their gender is not identifiable, cannot be the subject of an Erech, but they can make an Erech. A tumtum can say, I'll pay the Erech of that man or that woman. So, says the Gemara. According to Yehuda, holds that Jews can be the subject of an Erech, but Goyim cannot be subject of the Erech. So I would see, think, that they can't even make an Erech. Tamaloyim is Shaper. So now we can understand what the Ish is teaching us. That not only could a Goy make an Erech, but even a Goy, who's a Mufla, Hasamach Lish, can make an Erech. So what we just explained, the Pasuk, works perfectly. However, ask the Gemara, according to Rameyah, El Amandam, according to Rameyah, B'nai Yisrael Marichim, that Jews could be the makers of an Erech. V'en of the Kacham Marichim, not Goyim. Yochalai Hei Narochim, maybe I would think they can't be the subject, Tamalani Ish. That's what the Pasuk is teaching us, they can't be the subject. But ask the Gemara, if all Goyim could do is be the subject of an Erech, but what do I need to know about a Mufla Samach Lish? The subject of an Erech, you don't have to be a Bar Bas Mitzvah, even a few Tinnik Ben Chaydish, even a child that's a month old, Bar Ruchihi, could be the subject of an Erech. So if all Goyim could do, as far as Erechin is concerned, is just be the subject of Erechin, so where did the concept of Mufla Samach Lish come in? Kiyafli Romali, what does it have to teach us, Kiyafli? Omer of Acha Bar Hava, Lasuye, and the Rishonim teach us a very important word. Here, usually in Shas, the word Lasuye comes to include. Here it comes to exclude. Lasuye Oiv Kechov Godel, to teach us, the Afgav the Godel Hu, Ve'en Yudei Lahaflis. Even if you, usually, the Loch is as follows. A Jew, once he's Bar Bas Mitzvah, even if he's not really expert in the Halacha of Nidorim, but he's not a Shaita, he's not a Cheresh, his Neder is effective. A Goy has a different din, and it works perfectly what we learned before, that if a Goy makes a Neder, he's an adult, but he doesn't understand what he's saying, his Neder is not a valid Neder. Different than a Jew. That's what the Pasuk is teaching us. So ask the Rosh, if the Pasuk is teaching us that a Goy who's not of, and this is the Pasuk teaching us, that a guy who doesn't understand what he's saying can make an Erech, maybe another guy can make an Erech. So he says we have two Pasukim. Ish teaches us that every guy can. If I only had one Pasuk, I would think that the one Pasuk is only teaching us that if the guy is not intelligent to understand what he did, his Erech is not valid. But if he's intelligent, maybe his Erech is valid. That's why we have another Pasuk of Ish, no guy's Erech is valid. Ask the Gemara, El Kiyakli, the Kos Rachmona Gabazirus, Romali, why does the Torah have to use the word kiyafli, which means to utter clearly the word by Nazirus? Michti, ha'iskish Nazirus Nodorim. The Torah already compares Nazirus Nodorim. And by Nodorim already says kiyafli, that you have to be clear about what you say. Why do we have to say it separately by Nazirus, Kiyasri Lomeli, and there are a number of ways of learning this Gemara. We're going to learn the Gemara like Tosfos learns the Gemara. We may end up changing some words, but this is the Pshat of Tosfos that he quotes the Ruva. The Suye, it comes to teach us, Yedayim Shena Mechichas. It's come to teach us that even if somebody, we spoke about this at the beginning of the Masechta, that even if somebody didn't clearly articulate his Naziris, somebody, for example, just said the word Aho, which is really not a clear indication of what he means, his Naziris is a Naziris. Ditma, Yedayim Shena Mechichas, if somebody isn't clear, Abaya Omer, Having Yadayim, Rava Amalei Have Yadayim. According to Abaya, it is considered a valid Naziris. According to Rava, it's not. Ask the Gemara, so if we're saying that Ish is come to teach us that Yadayim, Sheni, Mechichas are Yadayim, Sula Abaya, it's very geschmack. That's what the Pasuk is teaching us. El Rava, that Yadayim, Sheni, Mechichas are not valid. So that can't be what the Pasuk is teaching us. Because according to him, it is invalid. So we're back to where we started. What does this pasuk by Naziris teach us? El Rava, that Yadayim Sheina Mechichas are not acceptable by Naziris. So what is the pasuk of Kiyafli, Michael Amanda, come to teach us? Says the Gemara, El Kiyafli, Meboil El Rav Tarfin. We needed to teach us what Rav Tarfin said. The Gemara that we learned on Daf Lama Dalet. The Tanya, Rav Yudai Mishun Rav Tarfin. Ein Ochem Hem Nazar, the case that we discussed in Macamara was that we were sitting, you and I were sitting together, and we saw someone from a distance approaching. And as humans are, we started to debate. I say that's Ruvain. And you say, no, it's Shimon. And I'm saying I'm so sure it's Ruvain that I'm going to be a Nazir. That's how certain I am. And you respond, I'm so sure, Shimon, that I'll be a Nazir. So Rav Tarfin says neither of us is a Nazir. Because when we declared this Naziris, we really weren't positive. Or we weren't able to be positive that our Naziris is a Naziris, and therefore it lacks in the Kiyafli. That's what the Gemara suggests, the Pasuk of Kiyafli teaches us. Says the Gemara, Honich Rav Tarfin. According to Rav Tarfin, that's what the Pasuk is teaching us. El Rabbanan, who disagree with Rav Tarfin and say that in the case that I just discussed, that even though we're not 100% certain who is the individual approaching us, the Rabbanan hold it isn't the Zeus. So we're back to where we started. What are we going to learn from Kiyafli? El Rabbanan mi Michael Amema says the Maran Boile, we need it for a different moment. L'chertanya. The Brisa says, Het Nedorim Parchen Ba'avir. This entire concept that we discussed, Baruch Hashem, many times, that one can have his nether annulled by going to Bezdin, going to Rav, really there is no specific basis in the Torah. The only basis that we have in the Torah is the Torah says, Lo Yachal Dvaroi, and we learned many times, Hu Ein Meichel, I have no right to undo my nether, Avo Acheirim Meichel Moi, others could do it on my behalf. So, Het Nidon Parchim Ba'avir, Ve'en Lahem Mashi Yismuchu. So according to the Tanakhama, there is no source for this concept, or explicit source in the Torah for this concept of Het Nedarim. And the Rechaim HaKadosh explains why not. So he says, we don't want people to take Nedarim lightly. If there was a pasuk in the Torah that taught us the concept of Het Nedarim, so people would not treat Nedarim properly. They would say, it's no big deal. I could always go to the Rav to have it annulled. That's why it's parchem avir. It's in the ear. It's not explicit. Rabbi Lezer Omer, there is a pasuk that indicates that there's aloch of het in the dorm. Yesh lema mash yismuchu. There is such a pasuk. Shnema, the pasuk says ish kiyafli, kiyafli shtei pamim. The Torah says the word yafli twice. Achas, echar aflol yisur. One pasuk teaches us that when I say a neder, I have to be explicit and clear in what I'm saying. And the other is to teach us that when I go to a Rav, or I go to a Bezdin, to have my nether annulled, there too I have to be clear in my statement that I want the nether annulled. So there's a Gevaldig Kasha that the Mefarshim ask. Who is the Man D'Omer that's teaching us the concept of Sheila the nether, the Belezer? We learned the Gemara earlier in the Masechta that Rabbi Lezer and the Shammai are of the opinion that ain't Shaila Behagdish. You can't have, once you magdish something, you can't have that reversed. And they connected it to Nazirus and the Dorim also. So how, asked the Mepharshim, can Rabbi Lezer be teaching us that we have a Pasuk that teaches us that how that you could be shoyl, you could have your nether and old? He doesn't believe in it. He says, ain't shoyl of a hegdish. So I saw three truths into this question. One teretz is as follows. We learned this in Masechta Nedarim. When one goes to a Rav, to a Bezdin, to have his nether and old, there are two possible ways the Bezdin, the Rav, approaches it. One is what's called a Pesach. A Pesach means that they start asking you, did you recognize the circumstances, the consequences? And the other is charata, a regret. Rabbi Lezer holds that a Pesach is not an acceptable way of reversing the matter. But charata, Bezdin could get me to say that I regret, that would be acceptable. One teretz. Another teretz. Even Rabbi Lezer, who holds that a nether cannot be annulled, is in the following situation. I make a nether, and I want it to be effective immediately, so I can't have it annulled once it's effective. But let's say I make a nether today that should only be effective in 30 days from now, which we learned many times is 100% acceptable. There, since the nether hasn't yet taken effect, Rabbi Lezer will agree that you can be shy on it. That's the case he's referring to. A third teretz is, as we said a moment ago, why do they say you can't be shoyl on a nether? Because it's like being shoyl on hegdish, and ain't shoyl of a hegdish. So where is a nether like hegdish? By nazirs. For as we have been learning, Baruch Hashem, when you become a nazir, you're going to have to bring kabbanis. And since you can't be shoyl on a hegdish, you can't be shoyl on nazirs either. But a regular nether, that has nothing to do with kabbanis, Rabbi Lezer will agree, you can be shoyl on, and that's what he says the pasuk is referring to. Continue the Mishnah. Chaymer ba'avodim mibanashim. In the previous Mishnah we learned that when a woman accepts upon herself a Naziris, there's a stringency over when an Eved Kanani accepts himself a Naziris. Today we're going to learn the other way around. Shumei fin nedre yishtay. If a woman makes herself a nazira, the husband, as we learned in Masechta Nedarim, has the ability to revoke it and remains permanently revoked. Even if the marriage is terminated, the husband dies, the husband divorces her, the nazira is terminated. Then it may finish the avdai. But there is no concept of afora regarding the nazira that an eved makes. And therefore, hefer ishtay, if somebody was made for the nazira of his wife, Hefer Alamis, it's a permanent hafera. Hefer La'avdoi, if he said to his Eved, I'm not allowing you to be a Nazir, Yotzil Cheris, if the Eved is freed, and he's no longer an Eved, Kanani, Mashlim Nizirosai. And the Farshim explained, what does Mashlim Nizirosai mean? It can be one of two situations. One situation is that the Eved accepted upon himself a Naziris. And let's say, like we've been learning, Stam Naziris Lamijayim, the 30-day Naziris. And he keeps 10 days of the Naziris, and then the owner sees that this is unacceptable to him. And he stops him from being a Nazir. What the Mishnah teaches us is that if and when this ever becomes free, he owes 20 days. That's one pshat. Another pshat is, even if the, as soon as the Eved accepted upon himself the Naziris, right away the owner said, I'm not agreeable, and the Eved never began Naziris, and then ultimately he's freed, he will have to keep the entire term after he's freed. Now there's a very interesting machloikas rishayim. What will be the halacha if we just learned in our Mishnah that the concept of hafora doesn't apply by a vodim, only by a wife? So what will be the halacha if an owner tells his eved, you made a nadir, you made Naziris, I'm being made for it? How do we view those, that statement? Some Rishonim suggest it's a meaningless statement. There is no hafara. It's totally meaningless. That's how some Rishonim learn. Other Rishonim suggest that what it means is, even though obviously this owner didn't come to our shir, and he isn't such a Talmud Chacham, and he doesn't recognize that Afara doesn't apply by Avodim, but we understand what he meant. He meant to say, I'm not agreeable that you should be a Nazir, and the Eved will not be a Nazir. The Rambam has a very interesting opinion. The Rambam's opinion is that when a owner says to his Eved, I'm being Nafi a Nether, I'm being Nafi in his ears, what he means to say is, I'm freeing you. Because since he recognizes that an Eved, there is no Hafara, what he must be meaning to say is, you're out, and I don't want to have anything to do with you, you're free. He gives an example. The halacha is, avodim, we just learned in the previous year, are compared to women, to nashim. And just like women don't wear tefillin, avodim don't wear tefillin. Why would be the halacha if an Eved Kanani puts on tefillin and his owner sees him wearing the tefillin and doesn't protest? He says that's a raya, that's a proof that he's ready to free him. Same too, if he uses the words hafara to his Eved, it means he's looking to free him. Tanabon. Yama Rabbi Kofer Umazirus. Why does the Nazirus take a fleck and not Avalon or Darim Alarchin? Why does the Nazir and the, why does the owner, just the way we start learning the Gemara, why does the owner have the ability to tell the Eved, who accepted upon himself the Nazirus, I protest and I don't agree and you're not going to follow the Nazirus? Why, if an Eved Kanani accepts a neg upon himself, accepts an Eruch upon himself, it is effective. Maishna Gabinazar, Dom Rachmana, Lesser is Maishna Gabinazar, Dom Rachmana, Lesser is Saul Nafshay. The only one that can make a Naziris that has to take fact is the Misha Nafshay Knulawai. Only someone who is in the, who owns himself, Yotz Eved, an Eved, who isn't his own Dalabos, cannot make a Naziris, the owner could stop it. It's interesting to note, there's a Meshach Chachma, says, V'zecharta ke'eved ha'yisa b'eret Mitzrayim, Alkein tzivcha Hashem l'shmar s'shabbos. I don't know if that's the exact word of the Pasuk. But the Pasuk connects, says the Meshach Chachma, the fact that we were avodim, our obligation to be Shem Shabbos. What's the connection? So he says it's based on this Gemara. Our Gemara says that an Eved, what's the definition of an Eved? Nafshay Knuyolai. That an Eved belongs to his owner. An Eved that belongs to his owner has to do what his owner says. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us, you have to be Shem Shabbos. You know you have to be Shem Shabbos? I took you out of Mitzrayim. Where were you in Mitzrayim? Avodim. If you take, so now you're my Avodim. And Eved has to do what his owner says. And I'm telling you that you have to be Shem Shabbos. In other words, as the Meshech Chachma says, besides that there's a halacha because the Shabbos, the Orchayim, Shechel Torchayim tells you to be Shem Shabbos, it's also a Chosh Mishpatim. Our owners are demanding that we be Shem Shabbos. So ask the Gemara, if that's the reason that Eved's Naziris, the owner could block, because it's Nafshik Neiloi, Yachafil Gabi Nadorim Nami, so why could Eved make Nadorim? Omer of Sheshis, Hochim Ayskinen, Kigon Shay Eshkel Shal Novim Mukhil in front of. There's somebody who has a cluster of grapes in front of him. Gabi Nadorim, if somebody says, I'm going to make another not to eat these grapes, the Kimitzibaha, so he's not going to eat these grapes. Why Mitzachini? But that doesn't stop him from eating all the other grapes in the world. That's why Lematzah Kafalei. His nether really isn't such a big deal. So he won't eat these grapes. There are plenty of other grapes to eat. However, Gabi Naziris, if an Eved says that he's going to be a Nazir, the Kemitzah Baha'i, it's a Bekula. He's not allowed to eat any grapes. Therefore, it's much more serious. And therefore, Lematzah Kafalei, that's why the owner could protest and not allow him to be a Nazir. Ask the Gemara, if that's the explanation, if that's the logic, the Gabi Nadorim Nami, by Neder also, Milo Eskin Deleka Lahai Ishko. Maybe we're talking in a situation that the only cluster of grapes available to this Eved is this cluster that's here. Dilay achray, and if he won't eat this cluster, chalish, he'll have nothing to eat. So why ask the Gemara? Why ask the Gemara? Should it be different? Just like when an Eved accepts upon himself Nazirus, we're concerned that he won't be able to eat any grapes. Here too, this may be the only grapes available. Ela Morava, the case why we differentiate between the Dorm and the Nazirus is as follows. There's some grape seeds in front of him. Gabi Medorim, B'hai Hu Demitzer. By Medorim, he's only not going to eat these grape seeds. A grape seed is not really the biggest nourishment. And therefore, the Matzikofilei, and therefore the owner cannot prevent them from making the nether. Because there's repercussions of the nether. The repercussions of not eating grape seeds are not that significant. However, the Gabi Medorim, that even if he makes, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, that I'm not going to eat these grape seeds because I'm going to be a Nazir, doesn't only prevent him from eating grape seeds. He's now eating grapes. He becomes a full-fledged Nazir. Gabi Nazir, the Itzinami Bachruni, that if he's not going to eat these grape seeds, he's not going to be able to eat anything, therefore, Matzah Kofilei, the owner could prevent him. Ask the Gemara, the Gabi Nadarim, Mila Iskinen, maybe the case of a nether, is the Lekka Ela Haicharzen, maybe it's referring to a situation that the only food available to this individual is grape seeds. Dilei Ochalei, that if he won't eat these grape seeds, Cholish, he'll have nothing else to eat. So why are we so quick to say, ask the Gemara, that the owner should not be able to prevent them? This is all he could eat. And therefore the significance and the repercussions of the nether are very serious. Why can't our owner protest? Therefore, the Gemara changes its entire direction. El Amabaya, Lama Rabbi Tzorch Lekvaisai. On the contrary, the Gemara is saying, by Naziris, if an Eved accepts upon himself a Naziris, the Naziris is a valid Naziris, just Allah is the owner to protest. Vein Tzorch Lekvaisai, Lodor. Vein Tzorch Lekvaisai, Lashvua. Just the opposite. By Naziris, his Naziris is valid. Just as Allah, as we look in the Mishnah, that the owner could protest it. By Shvuah and by Nedarim, it is invalid in the first place. And there are many machlokes Rishonim how to understand this Gemara. Most Rishonim learn the Gemara this way. And then I'll tell you some other opinions. Shvuas, an Eved can never make a Shvuah. Why? Because as we learned in the Masechta Shvuas, what is the definition of a Shvuah? And it's a Gavra. I am saying on myself that I can't do something. An Eved can't make an Issur Gavra. His Gavra, his person, is owned by the owner. Nedarim, there it's not an Issur Gavra. It's only an Issur Chefza. There the halacha will be that he can't make Nedarim that adversely affect the owner. We'll give the source for it in a moment. But if it's not a nether that adversely affects the owner, doesn't hurt him, then he can make a nether. That's how most Rishonim learn the Gemara. There are Rishonim that take both extremes. Some Rishonim say that by Shvuas also there's a difference between a Shvuah which harms the Eved and harms the owner versus a Shvuah that doesn't. And only a Shvuah which is detrimental is prohibited. A Shvuah which is not detrimental is not prohibited. And but there are other Rishonim that say that even by Nedarim, the halacha is that just like by Shvuas, an Eved can never make a Shvuah, an Eved can never make a nether. And there are those that want to suggest that this Machlokes Rishonim is connected to another Machlokes Rishonim. There's Machlokes Rishonim between the Tor and the Ramban. Why would be the halacha if an Eved makes a nether, and it's a nether that isn't effective, it's a nether to his detriment, and now the owner frees him. Will the nether now kick in? According to the Rishonim that explain that the nether of an Eved is never valid, so it doesn't kick in. According to the Rishonim that say it depends, is it for his good or for his bad, so we see that it does have validity, and therefore the halacha will be that after he's no longer an Eved, the nether will become effective. Why is there such a halacha? That if a nether or a shvua that's made to the detriment of the Eved is not effective, said the Ma'amai Tama. Dhamma Kura, the pasuk that discusses the halacha, the one can make a shvur or neder, says lahara or lahitav, to do harm or to do good. Ma tovet rishus, afaro rishus. Hatovet means that you're making a neder for your benefit. Hara is also when you're making a neder to harm yourself. Obviously, it has to be not something that's halachically prohibited, but you're saying you're not going to eat something. So it only affects you. But if you make a neder or shvur that adversely affects someone else, so it's not lahara lahitav, because it's not just you that's being effective. It's affected. It's someone else being affected. That is not an effective neder. An evet, by definition, is owned by his owner. And every time he makes a neder to his detriment, adversely affects the owner. Therefore, says the Gemara, the darim shvus that are to detriment, we don't need the husband, the owner, to protest. They're not effective in the first place. However, shvus is effective, but the owner has the right to protest. Ask the Rishonim the obvious question: if we're saying that an eved can't make a neder or shvus to the detriment of his owner, so why can he make a Naziris? Naziris is also to the detriment of his owner. So there's two answers in the Rishonim. One answer in the Rishonim is that Enochanami, conceptually an Eved should not be allowed to make a Naziris. But that's what the Pasuk V'amart Aleihem teaches us, that Evedim Kananim can make a Naziris. Another text that I saw is that by Naziris we have this concept that even if something should be also, it should not make sense to be a Nazir, it's effective. Because we learned early in our Masechta that a Nazir is not allowed to even drink the wine of Kiddush or the wine of Avdallah. I submit to drink Kiddush or Avdallah wine, still the Naziris is effective. Similarly, the Naziris of an Eved, even though it harms the owner, will be effective. Here the Pais can point out, we learn a Gevaldige lesson. An Eved who's owned by his owner and is therefore obligated and meshubat to his owner can't do anything to adversely affect his owner. And the Pais can say the same as any worker. A worker whose time belongs to his employer has to be careful about every moment, because that's not his moment, it's his owner's moment. And that's what Allah who knows that even the fourth bracha of Birchas HaMazon, the Gemara says in Masechta Brachos, workers didn't say, you're on your boss's time. In fact, I saw a very interesting shaila. The halacha, the Nunki Yosef already discussed the shaila, is that an Eved cannot say, I'm going to be in a fast day, because if he's fasting, he's weak, and he can't perform his job so well. The Pais can discuss, I'll tell you where they discuss it specifically. Let's say somebody's a Rebbe in a yeshiva, but if for whatever reason he wants to accept a fast day, so the Pais can suggest he shouldn't be allowed to. He won't be such a good Rebbe that day. If he's fasting, he's weaker, his head's not working the same, and he's obligated, he took a job to be a teacher, so he can't do it. And that's how the Mukhi Yosef wants to think. However, the Magen Avraham Lahalacha Lamaisa says, we have to separate and differentiate between an Eved who's owned by his owner versus an employee who, even though we have obligations to our employers, they don't own us. And therefore, even though they shouldn't do something to detriment and adversely affect their job performance, if he did accept the tainus, the tainus would be a valid tainus.